Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. This morning I'm preaching the Word of God from the Psalm of the day, Psalm 104. You'll find this in your bulletin and you might like to follow along as I preach on that psalm today. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, light divine, enlighten our hearts and minds this morning as we receive your word and inspire us your holy flame bestowing. Amen. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest, freshest, deep down things. And though the last lights of the black west went, oh morning, at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over this bent world broods with warm breast and bright wings. You may have recognised that poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins entitled The Grandeur of God. This poet was a priest in Britain during the Industrial Revolution, and he saw the lovely green landscape of England gradually being filled with dark, ugly factories and steel mills. He suffered with depression too, and he was often regarded as gloomy and withdrawn by other people. You can hear this in some of his poems, but you can hear other things too. His poems also always have a note of joy and light and hope in them and praise to God. In this poem I read a moment ago, for example, after he talks about the dark, dirty world, he says at the end, "The Holy Ghost over this bent world broods with warm heart and bright wings." Despite the mess we human beings make in our world and make of our own lives, God's Spirit still somehow brings refreshing, renewing light and fire and hope and joy. He brings new beginnings. Well, thousands of years before this poet wrote about the Holy Spirit's renewing work in the world, another poet was writing about the same topic, the psalmist. In Psalm 104 here, which we heard so beautifully sung for us a moment ago by the choir, this poet, the psalmist, talks about every living creature on earth, great and small, and how they are all, every one of them, dependent on God. From the small creepy crawlies that move along the floor of the ocean, to the ships that sail on the surface of the ocean, and to the huge whales and sea monsters that frolic in the middle of the ocean. All Earth's creatures, including us, grow, live, eat, drink when God opens his hand and provides for us. And, the psalmist points out, takes away our breath when he wills, just as he gave it. It calls to mind the creation account that we have in Genesis chapter 2, how God formed the man, Adam. He made him out of dirt. He pulled him together and then gave him breath, breathed into his own body, his own spirit, God's own spirit. at which point that pile of dirt became a living being. It's God who gives the breath to the living things, his own breath, and it's God who takes the breath of every living being away. As one of the mums said at the Bible study on Thursday at our mums and kids meeting, what the psalmist is talking about here is the circle, or if you prefer, the cycle of life and death that comes with the times and seasons in our world. That cycle that we have as a result of sin and death entering creation, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God just one chapter after God so lovingly had created them. The wheel turns, doesn't it? Living things are born, they live, they decline, their spirit, their breath is taken away, they die. As we're reminded on Ash Wednesday each year, we are dust, and we are returning to dust. But there is much more than just that going on in this psalm, as the psalmist reflects. As always in the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms, as we read carefully, we find the seeds of the New Testament there. We see the promise of not just the renewal of the next season or the next generation of creatures who will live and then die, but a different and greater renewal, a recreation, a complete new beginning of life as God the Creator first made it and intended it to be. And if you've got your bulletin open, have a look at verse 30. Enter the Holy Spirit. Let me read. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. This is the key verse in this whole reading, and it's why this psalm has traditionally been chosen as the psalm for Pentecost Sunday. This verse, set here in this psalm as it is, shows us a lot about the work of the Holy Spirit, about the way the Spirit works, as always, powerfully, yet gently and quietly. He was there at creation, as the psalmist says here in verse 30. You send forth your Spirit and they are created. Going back to Genesis again for a moment, you might remember the Spirit is mentioned there specifically, right at the beginning of everything. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, before God had even started creating the world, when everything was still formless and void, God's Spirit brooded over the face of the waters. And this is the image that Hopkins uses at the end of his poem. Yes, right back there, the Holy Spirit was sent forth by God the Father to do his work of creation. And the Spirit is still doing his creating work today too. Sent forth by the Father, bringing his life-renewing power to our world, to our environment. He gives breath to all living creatures still today, and in fact to all living things in general. He is the one who, as we celebrate at Harvest Thanksgiving, brings the food forth from the ground and makes the ground fruitful, opening his hand and filling us with good things through the work of the farmers and the food producers and everybody else who fulfills their vocation. It's all part of the Holy Spirit's productive work. The psalmist says here that the Spirit renews the face of the ground. The word used here in the original text is very important and in some ways very unexpected. He says that the Spirit sent forth from God the Father renews the face of the actual soil, the dirt, the dust. In Hebrew, the word is adama. He's talking about the fruitful soil from which our food comes, of course, but there is something else here, something more significant than that. The psalmist is using this word, the adama, the dirt, the soil, because back in Genesis 2, where God makes Adam, the man, he forms him from the adama. That's why his name is Adam. He is made of the dirt. And God breathes his own spirit into his nostrils to bring him alive. It is God's Holy Spirit who gave Adam, that pile of dirt, life. But not just him. Not just that first Adam. God's living spirit also came and breathed life into another dead body many thousands of years later. A body that lay in a tomb for 3 days. The body of the one that St. Paul called the second Adam. The body of Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, St. Paul throws bright light back onto this psalm, Psalm 104, and shows us the ancient and mysterious creating and recreating of work of the Spirit and how it goes on through every age and continues on into eternity. The Spirit is not just involved in creation, but in salvation and in sanctification and in mission and everything that goes on that brings life to this world. The salvation of us creatures who are also made of dust is involved here too. Listen to what Paul says in that verse. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit who dwells in you. Where the psalmist draws the basic outline here, Paul fills in the whole picture. The Holy Spirit, who was there right at the beginning and is still sustaining and renewing our whole world, was there in the tomb on the morning of the resurrection, creating life again, raising Jesus from death. And not only Jesus, Paul says, but us too. That same powerful life-giving Spirit lives in you and me. We could all have flames on our head this morning. The warm breast and bright wings that brooded over the waters at creation brood over each one of us too, enlivening our mortal flesh. Yes, your very body. Our bodies that were formed from dust but are now destined for glory. Today on Pentecost Day, we celebrate how God fulfilled these words in Psalm 104 yet again, when the Holy Spirit renewed and gave life and breath to his newborn church on Pentecost Day. Through the preaching of the gospel to many different people from different nations and different languages, through the baptism of some 3,000 new souls for Christ, new Adams and Eves raised from the dust and given eternal life. Just as we were ourselves in our own baptism, and just as we are every day. We say in the Creed, we'll confess it again shortly, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Not just life in general, but your life He has given you life. Not just this earthly struggle we call life here in this world, but eternal, glorious, heavenly life. It dwells right within your body. It's right there. And no matter where we go and what happens to us in this world, no matter how we are smeared and bleared and smudged by it all, the Holy Ghost over this bent world broods with warm breast and bright wings. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.